Scripture today is 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 16. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he is in us because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church.
Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you with open hearts and minds, ready to receive your word. Please quiet our thoughts and remove any distractions so that we may hear you clearly. Let your Spirit guide us into truth and understanding as we seek to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today we are going to continue in our study in 1 John chapter 4. And last week we were in verses 1 to 6, where John urged the believers to test the spirits to whether they are from God. And the key test he gives us is this, in verse 2. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. This was John's way of drawing a clear line against the false teachings of his day, especially Gnosticism. And you see, in the early church, Gnostics thought that the physical world, including our bodies, was evil, and that the only thing that mattered was the spiritual realm. The rest was evil. And so they believed that the soul was good and that salvation was the process of leaving behind the physical body to become pure and free from human and evil limitations. So let's think for a moment how shocking it was for the Gnostics, the idea that God could take on real human evil body. For them, this was something unthinkable. How is possible for a holy and pure God to take an impure human form? It is a contradiction. But John insists in this. Jesus came in the flesh. He became a human being with a body like yours and mine. And this separation of the spiritual and physical world is similar to how people today try to disconnect what they are emotionally or spiritually from their physical bodies. However, Just as John fought against Gnosticism, the church, we as Christians today, must stand firm in the beliefs that our bodies matter to God. Jesus did not use his body as a disposable cup. You use it and then throw it into the garbage. No, Jesus didn't take on human flesh just temporarily. Jesus took a human form, a human body for eternity. He is fully God and fully man for all eternity. And right now, Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand in his human form. Of course, after the resurrection, he has a glorified body, but it is human body. This is an incredible reality. The incarnation of Jesus, the eternal union of God with humanity, it is a concept that we should fill us with awe and with reverence. To borrow a phrase from Thomas Goodwin, when he says that the Son became flesh, he says, "Heaven and earth kissed one another, namely, God and man became one." By affirming Jesus' full humanity and incarnation, the Apostle John emphasized that the physical world, including human bodies, is part of God's good creation. And the denial of Jesus' humanity, as Gnosticism teaches, leads us to a distorted view of creation, human nature, and salvation. So what does that mean for us? Well, it means that our bodies are not just evil and disposable containers for our souls. No, our bodies are an essential part of who we are, and what we do with our bodies matter. This confession that Jesus came in the flesh has deep implications for how we understand everything from our moral decisions to how we treat other people. Think about today's debates about gender, sexuality, abortion, and even the general attitude of "my body, my choice." A lot of these conversations assume that our bodies are something separated from who we are, or that we can do whatever we want with them because the body is not that important. However, if we believe that Jesus came in the flesh, we uphold the sanctity of the body. It's not something we can treat casually. Our bodies are part of God's creation and design. We cannot separate our spiritual identity or our souls or our emotions from our physical reality, because both were made good by God. And so now we come to our passage for this morning in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. And John moves from talking about confessing Jesus' humanity to talking about love. And it seems like John is changing topics here. It seems like he's talking about something different, or he's going to introduce a new concept, but no, he is building on the same concept. He says, if you really believe that Jesus came in the flesh, it will change how you love others. It will transform your entire understanding of love. And this is how he says that our understanding of love is going to change. Notice with me in verses 7 to 10. And read with me. Verse 7 says, beloved, or as John was reading, dear friends, let us love one another. For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world. Into the real world, so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent into the world and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The first thing John tells us is that love, that God loved the world. That love of God was made manifest among us. The love of God was revealed to us in the coming of Jesus in the flesh, into the world, in human body. If you remember, in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, in verse 14, John tells us, and the Word, capital W, and the Word means Jesus, and the Word, Jesus, became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. And then Paul tells his disciple Timothy to preach this. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul is telling his disciple, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. And this is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh. This is really important to stress, because God's love was not just an abstract idea or a warm feeling. He didn't just send us a good advice or a list of commandments. His love, is telling us, John, became real in human form into the world. God became visible when he sent his Son in the flesh. He sent his Son to take a human body, starting from conception in the womb of Mary. And being in the womb of Mary, he was born of a woman, and he became one of us. Think about this. There in the womb, his heart started to beat. His face started to take shape. His arms started to move around, and his legs started to kick in Mary's belly. The God became flesh, took human form. He entered into our human reality and he became one of us forever. His love was not just theoretical. It was something we could touch and see. But there is more. Jesus not only lived among us, but he demonstrated a sacrificial love for us. His love was not just in the coming, taking the form of human, but he demonstrated his love when he died for us. Notice what verse 10 says. Jesus died for us to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means that Jesus took the punishment we deserve for our sins, and that is the core message of the gospel. Jesus, by becoming in the flesh, dealt with the sin problem in the flesh. You remember, sin entered the world through human beings, Adam and Eve, in their physical bodies. And therefore, salvation had to come through a physical body as well, the body of Jesus Christ. In his body, Jesus bore our sins. He died on the cross and he was resurrected to a new life. So the doctrine of the incarnation, the doctrine of the humanity of Jesus is essential because Jesus had to be fully human to represent us. Fully divine to save us, and fully in the flesh to take the punishment we deserve for our physical and spiritual sins. If Jesus had not come in the flesh, salvation would not be possible, would be incomplete. We wouldn't be fully redeemed spiritually or physically. But the resurrection of the physical body of Jesus is the guarantee of the future resurrection of our bodies. The future redemption of our bodies. God is not going to destroy your body or my body. God is going to redeem your body as he redeemed or transform or glorify the body of Jesus. That is the hope that we have in Jesus. And John is telling us that is the love of God for us, that God sent his Son into the world. So now in verse 11, John builds on this. Notice what he says there. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Love, God showed us in sending his Son in the flesh, is the same love we are called to show one another. This love has practical implications for how we treat one another. Not just emotionally, but physically as well. How we take care of others. Jesus didn't just love us in spirit. Or God didn't show us his love in spirit or in an idea. He demonstrated his love for us in coming into our world, in taking human flesh, in being one of us. And that is the love that God wants us to show to others. An incarnational love of God. Here's when it gets really relevant to the world we live in this day. First, the fact that God took on human flesh and will remain in that form for eternity tells us something profound about the value of our bodies. Do you remember what was the biggest of the commandments? Love your God with all your soul, your mind, with all your strength. And love. Sorry? Love your neighbor as you love. The love of God is reflected on how you love yourself and how you love this body and how you love those who are humans around you. But start with loving the body that God has given you. This body that you have is not a disposable container. They are not something we can just do whatever we want with. They are sacred. But second, Jesus entered into the world and loved us. Even when we were unlovable, we are called to do the same for others. Think about what this means. We cannot dismiss people because of their physical appearance, because their health, or because their disabilities. We can't treat people as less than humans because of their circumstances. Every human body has the same value, whether in the womb, in sickness, or in old age. Let me repeat this to you. Every human body has the same value, whether in the womb, in sickness, or in old age. Everybody has dignity. That's what John is telling us here. Real love from God has real, tangible love for others. Means that the love of God can be touchable. I was telling three Sundays ago to the Spanish people, to the Spanish community, I was sharing that you can touch the love of God when you show others the love of God. It's very practical. You can see the love of God when you do practical things for others. Not just that you said to the brother or sister, I will be praying, and you should be praying for them. But yes, praying is very ethereal. But what are you doing practically? Touchably, if that word exists, or I just made a new word. For your brother and for your sister. Because that is how John closes in verses 13 to 16. By these we know that we abide in him and that he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit, the Spirit of God who lived in Jesus in his humanity, now lived in us. And that is the evidence of God's love abiding in us. And notice how he closes in verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. When we show love, means that we have the same Spirit of God dwelling in us. And here is where all these connects come together. The confession of Jesus in the flesh is not just a theological statement. It's not just a doctrinal position. It is the foundation for how we understand love. If we believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that will change our understanding of how we should love others, how we respect others, how we treat others. It means loving them with dignity, as Jesus loved us. It means respecting the value of every human life, born and unborn. When we confess that Jesus came in the flesh, we reject the idea that only the Spirit matters. We reject the idea that we can treat the body however we want. And we embrace the truth that loving others means honoring them in every possible way, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And that's why John says, love one another, for love is from God. I have been thinking a lot about this lately. I mean, mostly from last week. And I start to, I don't know what happened in my brain. I think was the Lord start to open my eyes to see what mystery is the incarnation of Jesus in becoming one of us for the eternity. We will see him one day with the body that he had when he was walking here on earth. He became one of us for the eternity because he loves us. And he says, okay, now is your turn. We are going to get together, yes. But the redemption means that you should love others with the same love that I love you. And that is the challenge for us this morning. So we go out and let's start to show the love of God that we have received. in practical ways. In practical ways. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word and the reminder of your love shown in Jesus coming in the flesh. Help us to live out this love in our daily lives, honoring you with our bodies and loving others as you have loved us. And may your Spirit empower us to be faithful witness of your grace and truth. Faithful witnesses of your love for us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.